Welcome to America Back on Track here on the Quality News Network. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, January the 2nd, 2008. Interesting number. Went to a couple of events over the last few days, and I got to tell you, the energy was very, very fine. Many people are glad that 2007 is behind them, and 2008 is here, and it's not just about the numbers. There's a feeling in the air. It's not one that apparently hit Wall Street today. Market's down 2.5 yards, and oil, oh, it squeaked down below $100 a barrel. That's a big oops. Maybe this will be a year of realignment. Maybe the greedy people and the corrupt people will get their turn at the trough of scraps and offal. Yeah, we should save that for seed notes. Joining us in our first half hour, Robert Gnezda of the Greenlining Institute is going to be with us. He was one of those who advised Alan Greenspan 3 years ago when he was still Fed chairman about the problem of subprimes, and we will have him explain what the response was from the former Gree, Eminence Gree. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com is going to be with us in our second half hour, taking a little look back at what happened with elections reforms over the past year and what we might look forward to today. Also, some insight on the Iowa caucus voting process. Today's Seaton Notes is on unionized writers. You may have heard that the, what's his name? Letterman. Yeah. They're not very bright, are they? I mean, they don't shine. The writers for these people put out this pap, and there's nothing there. I guess it's so that people don't really wake up and think at that hour. Robert Maynard Hutchins has our quote of the day. He said, "My idea of education is to settle the minds of the young and unsettle." Let me get this right. It's an important quote. "My idea of education is to unsettle the minds of the young and inflame their intellects." No Britney Spears for him. Some observations on the news. The Washington Post had a piece Monday about the gross failure of management in the District of Columbia's public schools. In the late 1990s, the Army Corps of Engineers had replaced the aging boilers across the district at a cost of $80 million. The new heating system should have lasted 25 years or more, but the schools failed to maintain the boilers. They failed to remove the sediment and the harmful minerals that could cake up and clog things and make them broken. That would have cost them, roughly $100,000 a year for the whole district to maintain these systems that cost them $80 million. But the people running the schools apparently couldn't find that $100,000 in their budget. They could have found it if they had dismissed a single administrator. The result, however, because they didn't, is that 45 of 55 new boilers have broken down, and the cost to repair them this year alone is $10 million. Sometimes you got to wonder for whom the FBI is actually working. They've announced that they are launching a new search for D.B. Cooper. He was a guy who jumped out of a plane with $200,000 in his backpack back in 1971, 37 years ago. The weather was awful, and the Bureau says they don't think he could have survived the jump. So why are they looking for him now? Are they only able to catch dead hijackers? Whether it's outright greed, incredible stupidity, or desperation, the Recording Industry Association of America has expanded its inquisition. They used to go after people who downloaded music from the Internet or who made copies of songs and gave them to friends. Now these cretins are going after people who buy CDs and copy the music to their own computers. That encompasses a whole lot of folks, including, I'm not admitting this for the record, yours truly. You know, you like to create different patterns of music and put different pieces together for your own use, listening pleasure, on your own computer. Well, the legal industry is no doubt pleased with this move, since there are tens of millions of people, like us, who would be in violation of what they deem is illegal. What is so dumb about this is that the music industry if they put every song ever made online and charged a penny per download, they would make a ton of money, more than they make now, a lot more, and no one would bother to rip them off. Who knows what polls are accurate or how quickly people are changing their minds after they talk to the surveyors. One poll has Obama stalling, another has Hillrod crashing in Iowa. Did Huckabee peak? Are voters returning to Romney? And there are still people who apparently haven't decided how they will vote at the caucuses tomorrow night. Those who vote for a candidate who winds up with less than 15% on the Democratic side will be able to cast a second vote. There are still 36 hours before the Iowa caucuses. And this is getting, isn't it, it's far more interesting than sports, isn't it? And certainly more important. A bemusing email is passing about. It's an announcement that Deanna Favre, wife of legendary Packers quarterback Brett Favre, is going to replace him on the gridiron, she says. She's been married to him for the past 16 years and become familiar with his game plan, so she's ready to fill in. At the bottom of the email, former Clinton consultant Dick Morris declared that Hillary's claim to presidential experience for having been in the White House for 8 years with her husband was a claim that could also be made by the White House pastry chef. And finally, William Kristol is going to become a New York Times columnist. No doubt this is an effort by the top people at the paper to keep their image balanced. Unfortunately, Kristol's thinking is narrow and ugly. If the Times considers these qualities balanced, they further besmirch their record of allegedly publishing all the news that's fit to print, because Kristol's is not. And that's a look at the news for this Wednesday, the 2nd of January. We have a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Robert Gnezda. He is with the Greenlining Institute, and we're going to talk about what happened that made the subprime mess more of a mess. Stay tuned.
Want to start off the new year with a global internet presence but confused by all the ads for websites? Let Carmel.com and Boulevard's new media give your business the gift of an internet page and internet advertising without all the worries. Get the results you want from internet advertising. Carmel.com provides the production, graphics, designs, and writes your own unique web page. We brand your own logo and link global visitors to your page on Carmel.com. And we optimize your brand in all of our top city.com sites. We offer free toll-free numbers that connect direct to your phone line, free booking engines for hotels and inns. And we offer low monthly rates for retail and service businesses with all of your production costs free. So why wait another year for a web page? Give your business the benefits of Carmel.com's internet advertising with your free web page. Call us at 831-624-8889 or email contact@carmel.com.
Have you ever found yourself swatting at a fly no one else sees? Chances are you're seeing what we commonly call a floater. Many people have them and have had them for a while. Floaters are condensed proteins located in the gel-like part of our eyes called the vitreous. As we age, this gel becomes more liquefied, and so whatever debris was once trapped inside is now freer to float around. They are typically harmless, but you should check with your eye doctor if you notice new floaters, especially if they appear after a flash of light, or if you should notice a curtaining effect of your side vision. Otherwise, that squiggly critter you see, especially when you look at a blue sky or a white background, is probably with you for life and should simply be ignored. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on Eye Care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
We're back. America back on track. And pleased to have with us by telephone Robert Gnezda. He is the Policy Director and General Counsel of the Greenlining Institute. Bob, welcome to America back on track.
Thank you, Tony. Good
afternoon. You and I have crossed paths, but for the life of me, I can't remember where. Maybe something at Berkeley or, you know, we...
Possibly Berkeley when I was with Governor Brown or Public
Advocate. Oh, yeah, the usual suspects.
Right. Where are you located now, Tony?
We're in Monterey.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
it could have been way back when I was with California Rural Legal Assistance and I was in Monterey.
That was before we had electricity, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1966 to 69.
Yeah, I know those years. Bob, first of all, what is greenlining?
Greenlining is a national public policy and advocacy organization that focuses on inner-city economic development and an ownership society.
And it's sort of the counterpoint to what redlining is, which was what the banks were doing to prevent people you're trying to help from getting access to the market, in essence.
Exactly.
What does the Greenlining Institute do?
We do research, and we do advocacy, including legal actions, against corporate America when it fails to respond to the needs of underserved communities, including our nation's 110 million minorities. So we've been very active on the banking front, challenging Wall Street and the banking industry to meet the promises of an ownership society, including closing the minority home ownership gap.
One of the I used to live in Marin County, and one of the issues up there, obviously a very wealthy community, was that anyone who wanted to build a housing had to provide, I think, 10% for lower income families. And the question that came to mind was, and this is very esoteric and not meant to as a hostile thing, but is everyone entitled to access to everything?
Of course not. And greenlining doesn't ever propose that. However, we have to look at certain inequities in the system. For example, a wealthy or even a very affluent person who lives in California and in most other states will get a subsidy for $1 million home over 7 years worth $245,000 on the average. That's more than enough to purchase a home outright in most of America, although not in Monterey.
It's true. That's a subsidy, you say, in terms of interest deductions for a mortgage?
Interest deductions and your taxes on your home. So that goes to Bill Gates and the 88 billionaires who live in California and the 50,000 or more multimillionaires who live in California. So I don't have a problem with helping home ownership for lower middle class people who are working.
Well, I think this is sort of one of the issues that I've been on for a long time, which is that when you use numbers, hard numbers versus percentages, then you can, I mean, for instance, if I go out to lunch with a colleague and the two of us together spend $50, we can deduct $25. If Bill Gates and one of his colleagues goes out to lunch, they can spend $10,000 and deduct $5,000.
Exactly.
And on the home ownership front, you can have your $1 million home with your, I don't know, $10,000 a month, whatever, mortgage payments or whatever, and you can deduct huge amounts of interest, whereas someone is spending $500 or $1,000 or $1,500 a month, and they get to deduct very little. Isn't that the place where you put in hard numbers instead of percentages?
Of course. And what the government should do, and it takes an act of Congress to do this, is to change the law so that everyone is eligible for a tax credit, not a deduction. Let's say the tax credit is $5,000 per person. That's a credit for a home ownership. That eliminates the preference for people with huge amounts of income or who purchase very large homes.
And this is one of the issues that's particularly facing California right now. They're talking, Elizabeth Hill, the state budget analyst, is saying, you know, here is where the state could begin to close that $14.5 billion budget gap this year if they made it a more fair process.
Yes, but I don't think she's discussing the inequities of the tax system that gives $350 billion a year in tax deductions primarily to affluent homeowners.
She's looking at all of the special programs where the benefits can go way up or way down depending on who's getting them. I mean, she just...
Oh, that's good then. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I favor examining it that way.
we don't seem to have an attitude of fairness towards this whole process of everyone having a shot at the brass ring.
I would agree. So Greenlining will be proposing to Congress that they re-examine the tax deduction in the context of a more equitable distribution of the $350 billion a year in tax deductions.
Sounds like a good plan. We're talking with Robert Gnezda. He's the Policy Director and General Counsel of the Greenlining Institute, and we will be back with more with him right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
We're back. America Back on Track. We're talking with Robert Gnezda, Policy Director and General Counsel of the Greenlining Institute. Bob, one of the reasons why I contacted you to ask for this interview was a piece I saw in the New York Times about your having contacted, spoken with, the word they used, implored Mr. Greenspan to use his bully pulpit and press for a voluntary code of conduct on these. The mortgage disaster. What happened?
Well, we met with Greenspan twice a year, beginning in 1993. And beginning in 2000, we raised with him the outlaw tactics of many mortgage brokers and subprime financial institutions that he did not regulate, and urged him to create an environment where the best practices would prevail. He always refused to do so. And in 2004, we came to meet with him specifically based upon a meeting we had held with 15 banks discussing exotic adjustable rate mortgages. And he acknowledged that it was a problem and said that even someone with a doctorate in math would not understand most of the mortgage instruments, but he wouldn't do anything.
Why?
We think it may be due to ideology. He was a major supporter of the Ayn Rand free market system, which is to have no government scrutiny, to allow corporate America to fight it out with the belief that if they fought it out without any government interference, it would be best for consumers.
But didn't he recognize the pitfalls? I mean, not only with the people who were pulling, you know, getting these subprime.
Well, he recognized the pitfalls. I mean, he was very astute. There was a telling example. When we came back to see him, he had just a couple of months before told Americans that they should get adjustable rate mortgages because in the long run they'd save money. So we asked him if he had an adjustable rate mortgage. He said no. And then we asked this a follow-up, have you ever had an adjustable rate? And he laughed and he said, of course not. I like certainty.
Hmm.
So he understood the problem.
But
it's just that that wasn't his way of governing.
I guess my question was, I could see someone like Greenspan, who I knew way back in the 70s, have this let-them-eat-cake attitude towards the poor or the less privileged who are going to maybe lose their homes. But what about to Wall Street and the Bear Stearns and the Merrill Lynches and the...
Well, we raised that issue of bringing Wall Street in for scrutiny, not necessarily regulation, but at least scrutiny. He demurred.
Hmm.
And we had raised with him that he had done that to save the long-term capital management hedge fund in 1998 and raised $3.8 billion of private money to save them. But he thought it was there was a distinction to be made.
What is your sense about how many, if it's possible to calculate this, how much of the subprime mess is due to people who were deceived versus people who were just greedy or bad speculators?
Well, some of it is due to speculators, maybe 20%, and we're opposed to helping them. As to the other 80%, most of them are innocent by any standards. Others are partly guilty because they fell into the pattern of greed and excessive optimism and expectations fueled by Wall Street and the banking industry and the regulators. But if you compare the responsibility of Alan Greenspan, the Federal Reserve, and Countrywide and Wall Street with that of a $60,000 a year plumber, I think you got to blame the government and the financial industry more than that individual.
Oh, no question.
Who was led to believe that home prices would only keep going up by 10 to 20% a year.
No question about that. And the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, who blocked the states from investigating the local banking practices.
Exactly.
So how do we distinguish, Bob, amongst these different people who...
I wouldn't distinguish, except as to speculators, because there are lots of other factors. The Federal Reserve Bank of Boston just made public a study showing 55% of those facing foreclosure who have subprime loans were actually eligible for prime loans. If they had gotten a 30-year fixed-rate prime loan, they wouldn't be subject to foreclosure.
Well, I understand that part, but what I'm suggesting is, and you read about these communities where, you know, they're building next door because there's such a demand for housing, and people are told, oh, it couldn't go down. There are too many people involved. There's too much money involved. The banks would lose. Yada yada. I mean, obviously, there's a sort of a homeowner's peer pressure to do this sort of thing, but people bought it, and to some degree, those people who weren't lied to share some of the responsibility for putting their name down.
Most people were lied to, though.
Well, those are the ones we need to protect.
Exactly. And I think Alan Greenspan has come up with the best answer. He about 2.5 weeks ago, he said that he thinks that the Federal Reserve is making a mistake by reducing interest rates to financial institutions at a cost of hundreds of billions of dollars. Better, he said, make a direct cash infusion to the homeowner who's not a speculator. And that's why I think Congress has to re-examine the home ownership tax deduction. because that is a cash infusion in itself of up to $35,000 for a typical affluent homeowner in California.
We're talking with Robert Gnezda, Policy Director and General Counsel of the Greenlining Institute, and we'll get into some of the details of this in the fight with Congress to do the right thing right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping. Charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Keep current on events during the day with the finest newscasts in the country right here on the Quality News Network. The QNN newscasts are delivered at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. Eastern through 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. QNN delivers almost three times the number of stories you'd hear on mainstream networks or public radio. Plus, QNN gives you the most comprehensive business coverage of any general news source. The QNN Headline News Service is for everyone who wants to stay on top of the news. We report national and international news stories, but we leave out the political slant and unnecessary bells and whistles, unlike so many other news media organizations. Hear the latest news from the Quality News Network online at qualitynewsnetwork.com or call your local news radio station and tell them you want them to carry QNN newscasts, the finest in the country.
We'll be back. America Back on Track. And if you want further information on what Bob Gnezda and I are talking about in terms of greenlining, or any of our guests, you have it to go to QNNAmerica.com, and we have links there. Bob, what do you want Congress to do specifically?
Well, Congress is ahead of greenlining in part. Congressman Dingell is considering legislation that would bar any tax deductions for any, what he calls, mansions, homes with more than 3,000 square feet. He wants to do it for partly because of the energy waste, but I think this is a constructive idea, generally. But probably the most constructive would be for Congress to urge the Federal Reserve to put together a public-private fund of $20 billion that would rescue non-speculators. At least half of the fund would come from Wall Street, foreign banks, and domestic banks that participated in the subprime crisis, including Countrywide, Wells, Wachovia, Washington Mutual, and Citigroup, and J.P. Morgan Chase.
It's an interesting situation in that, you know, not all, I mean, some people did a no money down, 100% financing sort of thing, but in most cases there was at least some value in those homes, which may not exist today, but down the road at some point exist. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
So
even in L.A., by 1991, to 95, prices had declined by 40%, but they resumed to their pre-91 levels by 2003 and exceeded them over the next few years. We think with the proper federal backing and private initiative, the same can happen throughout the nation. But there's still a big problem. California home prices are artificially too high due to a combination of bad California tax law, federal deductions that favor the affluent over the middle class, and elitist environmental laws that bar inner city construction, even near mass transit.
I guess where I was going with that, Bob, was that if, because we're talking about housing as opposed to stocks and bonds or something, there's something tangible here, and ultimately your expectation, as is mine, is that there will be value again in these homes, which means that if the government does step in to create a financing instrument to protect ownership amongst those people who weren't speculators, that the government could, if the government had money in it, have that, you know, be protected for that. You know, the asset would return.
Oh, I agree, but I think the Wall Street firms like Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch ought to participate as well. They stand to gain the most by home price stability.
Yeah, well, maybe some of them should be in prison instead. But no, I take your argument. What is your sense of the people who are running for the White House now, Democrats and Republicans? Do you find some more than others meeting this crisis head on?
Unfortunately, yes. The Republican candidates, to my surprise, have all either avoided the issue or given responses even more inadequate than those of Secretary of the Treasury Paulson. Hillary Clinton, Obama, and Edwards all have raised important points that I think ought to be considered, including some combo of a public-private partial bailout.
So
what I'm worried about, though, is the response of some that will dry up credit for the 70% of Americans who live from paycheck to paycheck. That is, we could have unduly restrictive terms on subprime mortgages. And subprime mortgages are not inherently irresponsible. Properly supervised, they could be of benefit to the 70% of Americans who live from paycheck to paycheck. Although, as I said earlier, at least half of those who get subprime loans are actually eligible for low 30-year fixed-rate mortgages.
Do we need more of an FHA bank collaboration where they reduce the profits? I mean, what, the old days we used to have like 3% mortgages, 30 years fixed, no games?
Well, that might be an idea. Or if we just gave a tax credit to every homeowner of $5,000 on a $200,000 home, that would have the same effect as reducing a 6% interest rate to 3%.
Well, we have a lot of work in front of us. Bob Gnezda, Policy Director and General Counsel of the Greenlining Institute, I want to thank you very much for being with us and elucidating this, not only the problem, but the solutions.
Well, Tony, thank you very much, and I hope you'll be helpful in this solution.
We'll work in that direction. Happy New Year to you, Bob.
Happy New Year to you, too, Tony. Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
Hi, I'm Brian Gingrich of Monterey Mattress Company. The only way to travel is by using the very best, and the very best in a major sleep product is any mattress from Monterey Mattress Company. Literally serving all parts of the world, we have been building the finest latex foam and innerspring mattresses for well over 20 years. Using our world-famous hotels as a measuring stick, you'll more often hear the name Monterey Mattress, as we supply over 100 resort hotels in this area. Far exceeding industry standards, these mattresses are available to you at factory prices. In addition to the local recognition, Monterey Mattress Company has been shipping beds worldwide to the many visitors who have experienced a great night's sleep here. This is the ultimate endorsement enjoyed by very few businesses. Monterey Mattress Company. We simply build the best, whether for your home or world-renowned resorts. Visit us today at 1714 Contra Costa in Sand City or on the World Wide Web at MontereyMattress.com. Sleep like a panda bear.
Attention homeowners, this is Sharon Law Tucker. You've heard me talk about various mortgage types over the past several months. Now I want to talk to you about reverse mortgages. I believe that quality of life and having options is extremely important. The biggest concern for most seniors today is to stay in their homes, yet they are living on an income that can no longer meet their basic living needs. Through reverse mortgage loan products, I can help senior homeowners stay in their homes, get tax-free cash for any purpose, including monthly income, home improvements, medical care, travel, and much more. I can help you remove the stress and worry from your life, take the burden of responsibility from your children, and enjoy a better quality of life. If you are a senior homeowner, call me today for a free copy of the Reverse Mortgage Handbook. I'll send it to you at no cost, no obligation. Phone me, Sharon Law Tucker, at the Reverse Mortgage Center, 831-809-1705, 831-809-1705. Pacific Home Lending is licensed by the California DRE, license number 01254837.
We're back. America Back on Track. And joining us now by telephone, Brad Friedman. He is the editor of bradblog.com, and not just another blogger. He is one of the most instrumental voices in this country in terms of election reform. Brad, welcome back to America Back on Track.
Well, thank you, sir. Good to be here. Tony, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. First of all, I'd like to get your assessment. Obviously, there were some big changes in 2007, not only here in the Golden State, but Rush Holt and others. Are we going in the right direction on election reform now?
I'll have to give you a nuanced answer.
Okay.
Perhaps we have turned the Titanic around, or at least begun to turn it around. We are still not going in the right direction, I'm sorry to say, and as we head into 2008, I have great concerns about what is likely going to happen with our electoral system throughout this coming year.
Are you thinking on a state-by-state basis, or the nation, or both?
Well, you know what? The systems that we use, setting aside for the moment fraud and manipulation, because these systems are so unbelievably easy to tamper with, but setting those aside, just with errors, just with machine failures, and those sorts of problems, add to that what will be, what already is, a very intense effort and well-funded effort by the Republicans, in fact, to keep legal voters from being able to cast their legal vote at all. You combine all of those, you've got a pretty volatile cocktail, a mix, and a promise of disaster. It's difficult to know where it's going to happen, but I expect election meltdowns from, frankly, coast to coast. I hope that I'm wrong, and if I'm not, I hope that most of them happen by February in super-duper Tuesday, so that we might have a chance of correcting some of these problems before we get to the November 2008 election, as I would suggest that another questionable presidential election will not bode well for this country.
Indeed. You and I have talked a number of times that this is not a partisan issue for you or for me, for that matter. It's about this country, the integrity of our process. And so when you talk about the Republicans trying to game the elections, part of it is a partisan thing. And one of those examples is the Supreme Court having a hearing. Is it on Indiana?
But that's right. And actually, let's separate these two, even though they're sort of part and parcel of each other. One concerns the election system itself, the voting machines and so forth. That is very much, to me, not a partisan issue. If the machines can't be relied on to count your vote correctly, that can affect a Republican, that can affect a Democrat, it doesn't matter. You have to have a transparent system where folks, and I'll probably say this over and over again this year, but where a paper ballot can be cast for every vote in America, period. That's very much a nonpartisan issue. On the other side of the coin, you do have a very partisan effort, as I say, well-funded now, long-run, very sophisticated effort by the Republicans to purge legitimate legal voters off the voter rolls by creating this phony notion that there is this massive epidemic of voter fraud going on, voter fraud being different from election fraud, That's the other thing that, you know, that we're concerned about. That can affect anybody when you have these machines that are not transparent. But voter fraud is a different issue. It's very rare. It happens almost never. When it does, it's very, very difficult for, you know, a voter to actually affect an election. Now, if an election administrator is stuffing the ballot box in some fashion, or if they're changing the tabulator, changing the numbers there, that I consider election fraud, and that's a very serious threat. Voter fraud, however, is not. Yet, the Republicans and their operatives out there would have you believe that it is, and the solution, they say, is to require these photo IDs at the polling place. And they say that knowing full well that anywhere from 10 to 30 million Americans don't have government-issued driver's licenses. And yet, and those 10 to 30 million Americans, by the way, are overwhelmingly Democratic-leaning voters. They're minorities, they're elderly, city dwellers, and so forth. That's what the case is that you refer to out of Indiana. That's a photo ID case that is heading to the Supreme Court this January.
Any sense of how they're going to deal with it?
Well, you know, it's been very interesting because it's been regarded as the most important case, perhaps even more important than Bush v. Gore when it comes to voting rights. Both sides of this issue have been burying the Supreme Court with amicus briefs, you know, trying to show that, in fact, we don't have this massive epidemic of voter fraud, therefore we don't need to institute these draconian laws, which, by the way, have been found to be unconstitutional in many states as a modern-day Jim Crow-era poll tax, basically. And yet, the Republicans keep at it, and you've got a Republican Supreme Court right now, you know, and so it won't surprise me at all if they go 5-4 in favor of this photo ID business. And if they do, you're going to see these new laws popping up all across the country in, you know, in all sorts of swing states that are important in order to assure that some legal Americans simply cannot cast their vote. Minorities, elderly, city dwellers, again, majority Democratic-leaning voters.
I think that if the Supreme Court decisions on school integration are any clue, this does not bode well. They seem to be out of touch with the notion of how many people don't, in fact, have photo IDs.
Well, either they're out of touch with that fact and that number, or they don't care. I mean, when the appellate court looked at this particular case in Indiana, you know, they were unable to show, the folks who were in favor of this this law in Indiana were unable to show a single incident of voter fraud that had ever occurred in that state that would have been stopped by these photo ID laws. Remember, the greatest voter fraud, such as it does occur, occurs via absentee, you know, vote by mail.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no photo ID required for that. So it's only the polling place where they're imposing these restrictions. And again, I think the reason is pretty obvious that they're doing it, and yet the judge in the appellate court in Indiana incredibly allowed this this voter suppression measure, allowed it to go through, and that's why it's now being challenged at the Supreme Court.
Tomorrow, the Iowa caucuses, it's a sort of a complicated voting process. Is it cleaner than other states?
No. boy, am I full of bad news today, huh?
Yes.
But sorry. But
that's
the,
right.
the fact that it's not so much a question of how clean it is. The question that we have to judge all of these things against is how transparent it is. Well, yes, it is confusing, particularly on the Democratic side up there in Iowa, but it's transparent at the precinct, and because you can actually see people need to show up, and you can actually see as people stand there in groups who they're voting for. What is not transparent, however, is the results. Once they determine at the precinct, you know, how many delegates will go for each candidate and so forth, those numbers are then sent over the phone to some mysterious place, some black box, if you will, and they're reported by the Democratic State Party. Similar process happens over on the Republican side, although they don't stand in groups. There they actually cast ballots on pieces of paper, though how it's counted at the precinct and then how it's tabulated at the county and then state level, unfortunately, remains a mystery. And that's where problems can happen. Wherever the visible, transparent chain of custody drops out for these things, anything, unfortunately, can happen.
And does.
Indeed.
We only have a few seconds left. Are you optimistic that this wave, this turning of the Titanic, is going to get us in the right direction soon?
Well, I'm optimistic that we'll... sorry for that Al Gore-like sigh there. I'm optimistic that it will get us turned back in the right direction. Whether it will be soon enough to make a real difference in the 08 election cycle remains a question. About that, I have great concerns. And so I thank you for covering this issue, and I hope your listeners as well will become involved in the process, will educate themselves, will find out what's going on, will become poll workers, and otherwise observe the process and keep the bad guys honest.
Good
That's
plan.
What's needed here is the people to own their elections and start paying attention to what's going on, bring cameras, bring recorders, make noise, and make sure that the system is as transparent and as clean as possible.
Brad Friedman, thank you for joining us.
Always my pleasure.
We'll be back right after these messages.
For an insider's look at quality news coverage, be sure to read two of the latest books by award-winning journalist and author Tony Seaton. The Quality Interview and Don't Mess with the Press transport the reader into the world of journalism, including the ups and downs of network news coverage and what it's really like reporting the important events we see happening every day around the world. Don't Mess with the Press is an intriguing and engaging chronicle of Tony's early career, beginning with his start as a copy boy for ABC News back in the 1970s, to working his way up to become producer of network news interviews for Barbara Walters. The Quality Interview is the definitive guide to the art of the interview. Learn interviewing basics and much more, including how to get crucial information out of even the toughest interview. For more on Don't Mess with the Press and The Quality Interview by Tony Seaton, visit our website at www.qualitynewsnetwork.com.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Before past the hour in time for Seaton Notes. I'm not a union person anymore. I never was enthusiastic about organized labor because I felt the very idea of breaking up a company into two opposing forces didn't make a whole lot of sense. Yes, there was a need to force employers to treat employees properly, but after considerable and important shifting of much of the social conscience about fairness, there has been a long stretch of union management being as ugly and as intransigent as the companies they fight with over every little thing. There's a lot of feather bedding, and many unions have too much control over people's lives. They stop picking up the garbage, creating a health hazard. They stop airlines from flying, disrupting the personal and business lives of thousands. This is not to say that some companies aren't treating their employees badly still. Of course they are, and most certainly should reform. But unions are a tactic of the past and should be dissolved into history in favor of more effective means. For instance, in the private sector, people shouldn't patronize companies that don't treat workers properly, nor should they work for such businesses. As far as the public sector is concerned, I don't think there should be any unions, because the people affected by the work stoppages are the people, and the people are the ones who elect the leaders who manage the government. They have direct control of the management. They are electing the leaders! So the people are choosing the management style that should govern, and those people who work for the government then shouldn't have a gripe. That said, the writers' strike is heading into its third month without much apparent movement. Apparently, the strikers have now lost in missed wages more than the amount they sought to gain from the job action. This is unfortunately not an uncommon process. Which suggests that the whole thing could have been avoided with an honest mediator and a lot less posturing, though I'm not sure that's something we could expect from Tinseltown thinking. David Letterman signed a special agreement with the writers to come back to his show and another late-night program that he produces starting tonight. Letterman has his own company while Jay Leno and the others work for the networks with whom the striking writers are not yet coming to an accord, at least not yet. Leno is also back on tonight, though without his union writers. But doesn't it all raise questions about the morality of both sides in the Letterman deal? His writers will be happy, of course, but those who remain on the picket lines won't be, unless somehow this deal puts pressures on the other networks to give some more. My guess is that the writers should certainly get paid for their work that appears on the Internet, which is the main issue, but probably not as much as they're asking for. I'm a writer. I love writing. I wish there was something in these contract negotiations that would require better work of the writers, at least of those overpaid hacks who are simply providing cheap, cheesy fodder to attract eyeballs to the commercials that are the reason the networks produce. And that's Seat Notes for January the 2nd, thanks to Robert Gnezda of the Green Lining Institute for elucidating us about what's going on in the subprime crisis, and Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Join us again tomorrow and every weekday at noon Pacific for more of America Back on Track. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Tony Seaton.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the Internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their clients' name to the global Internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission. Mary Knoll.
You're listening to KRML, 1410 AM, Carmel, California. The news from the Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. The price of crude oil jumped to a new record today, $100 a barrel. Last year, crude oil rose nearly 58%, the largest jump in a decade. At their last meeting in November, OPEC oil ministers decided not to lower the price of crude, citing the continuing high demand around the world. The price of gold also soaring to new heights. Metals value shot through its previous peak of $850 to trade at over $859 an ounce earlier today. The slipping dollar, surging oil futures, and conflict in Pakistan are cited for that rise. Presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Mike Huckabee hold narrow leads over their competitors in the run up to tomorrow's Iowa caucuses. New Hampshire's primary is next week.
As the countdown in Iowa continues, Republican presidential hopeful Mike Huckabee will leave the state to be a guest on the Jay Leno show tonight. The former governor of Arkansas told...
Thank you, very good point, caller. We really appreciate that. And I'm going to say, please stay tuned for Peter B. Collins' show coming up next after the CBS News.
Everybody's waiting for my daughter in the car. I'm sorry, got to go, but I'll make it up to you. I promise I'll give you a call next time.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Going door to door in Iowa.
What's the next house?
8050, so we have to drive.
30, yeah, a little bit down.
Yep.
Now is when the organization pays off workers out in the Iowa cold and working the phones, encouraging would-be supporters to join them at the caucus tomorrow night.
As the contenders try to seal the deal with voters, their campaign machines are in overdrive. On the eve of the too-close-to-call caucuses, Iowans are on the receiving end of a final candidate dial-a-thon.
Hi, this is Tony from Barack Obama's presidential campaign.
Hi, this is Jared calling with Mitt Romney's Iowa caucus team.
Hi, this is Malcolm with the John Edwards campaign.
Hundreds of volunteers are in offices and union halls cluttered with snack food bags and soft drink cans. Their job? Motivate supporters to attend tomorrow night's caucuses and win the votes of up to a third of Iowans who remain undecided. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Des Moines.
A couple of the high-profile Iowa candidates appearing on tonight's returning late-night television shows. Mike Huckabee, mistaken about picket lines, scheduled to be on with Jay Leno.
The writers have made this agreement to let the late-night shows come back on, so I don't anticipate that it's crossing the picket line.
This is Steve Futterman at the NBC studios in Burbank. There are two picket lines up here at NBC, one in front of the studio, another here at a side gate, which is often used by guests as they arrive. Some picketers are holding signs which criticize Mike Huckabee. Several signs refer to him as a scab. He says he supports the writers, but apparently will still cross the picket lines.
No picket lines for the Letterman show. He's got his own deal with writers. Hillary Clinton reportedly appearing from Iowa. Destruction of CIA interrogation videotapes, the tip of what could be one of the worst scandals ever seen in Washington. So says Jonathan Turley, constitutional law expert, George Washington University.
If there is any case that demanded a truly independent counsel, it is this one. We now know of at least six crimes that may have been committed and over a dozen individuals who are likely targets. And the crime of torture, if it was committed, was done so upon the orders of the president himself.
Justice Department today announcing a no-holds-barred, full-scale criminal investigation. Highly regarded senior prosecutor James Durham of Connecticut will head it up. Former World Series star Jim Leritz had a suspended license when he was charged with driving under the influence and killing a woman last week in Florida. New York State suspending that Florida license a month before the crash. As Wall Street investors were beginning their first trading day of the year today...
We got some news that the manufacturing sector is shrinking, which isn't good because it was the one part of the economy that had been holding up pretty well. So people are nervous that the broader economy is slipping away into recession.
Mark Zandi, MoodysEconomics.com. Oil hitting $100 a barrel for the first time ever before settling just below. Stocks really dropped. The Dow finishing down 220 points. NASDAQ off 42. S&P 500 down 21. This is CBS News.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Is your New Year's resolution to finally get organized? Then come to Office Depot this week for everything you'll need. Folders, files, binders, plastic storage, file cabinets, and more. All at great prices and in great colors. This week at Office Depot, buy one, get one free on Office Depot brand stackable file totes in select colors and designs. Office Depot, taking care of business. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
Had to be a scary time. Fire ripping through a historic cancer hospital today, forcing patients and staff to flee into the cold streets of West London. Clouds of smoke billowing across the skyline. No injuries reported in the fire at the Royal Marsden Hospital, although the 150-year-old building severely damaged. You've seen those bumper stickers, right? Hang up and drive. So has CBS's John Hartshey.
Drivers yakking on cell phones, even the hands-free ones, cruise about 2 miles an hour slower on commuter-clogged roads than drivers just driving. So says a University of Utah psychology study. The distracted driver tends to drive slower and have delayed reactions, according to Professor David Strayer. His study involved 36 students driving in simulators. He figures getting stuck behind drivers on cell phones can cost you about 20 hours a year in lost commuting time.
Really, really cold in Florida tonight. Freezing. Orange growers worried. People being encouraged to bring in their pets and cover their shrubs. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Taking care of business.
Is your New Year's resolution to finally get organized? Then come to Office Depot this week for everything you'll need. Folders, files, binders, plastic storage, file cabinets, and more. All at great prices and in great colors. This week at Office Depot, buy one, get one free on Office Depot brand stackable file totes in select colors and designs. Office Depot, taking care of business. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.